WMFO Medford. Yes. Long before domesticated pets had their own department stores, radio was the first in electronic entertainment to erode human sensibilities. My name is Arthur. I will play said such radio this morning here on the Grand Hour. It's the 17th of November, 2021. First off, I'm going to follow what I played last week, episode 2. Of Mr. Chameleon. Show was created by Ann and Frank Hummert. This one is titled The Brownstone Murder. Had an original air date of the 25th of July, 1948.
Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder, brought to you by the makers of Bayer Aspirin. For those who do not know who Mr. Chameleon is, we give a quick sketch of his character. Born of a well-to-do family and a college man, he tried from childhood to live up to the name he bore, Chameleon, by taking on the color of whatever situation in which he found himself. Appearing in endless guises, finally entering the police force where he became known as Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most dreaded man. Throughout this series, the listener will invariably know who Mr. Chameleon is, no matter in which disguise he appears. But the criminal he's tracking seldom does. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon and the Brownstone Murder Case. In some circles, 11 o'clock at night is considered early. At the Carlisle Arms, it is very late indeed. For the paying guests at the Brownstone Front in the East 70s, which is now a genteel boarding house, retire around 10. After that, the musty halls are usually deserted. But now on the second floor, outside of one of these rooms, Madame Lorraine is talking to her friend, Mrs. Kramer. And Mrs. Kramer, a timid, rabbity little woman, is saying,
I wish you wouldn't go prowling around. Really, Madame Lorraine, you ought to stay away from that end of the hall.
Well, I don't intend to, Mrs. Kramer. I'm telling you I heard voices last night in the back part of the house that's supposed to be shut up.
It is shut up. It hasn't been used in years.
It was being used last night. Either that, or there was someone in Professor Haywood's room. And the professor is away. His room supposedly is locked. Anyway, I'm going to do a little private investigating.
But what for, Madame Lorraine?
Just to satisfy my curiosity. I've always been a curious woman, Mrs. Kramer. And now I'm a bored one. I'm sick of the old fogies who live in this place. Colonel Robbins, for instance. Speak of the devil. Did you ever hear anything like that radio of his?
Colonel Robbins can't help it if he's deaf. He doesn't play his radio for long.
Well, at least it'll stop anyone from hearing me go down the hall.
What about Miss Darling? You know how queer she is. She's warned everyone not to go snooping around her room. And her room's right next to the door that leads to the empty wing.
Miss Darling is a silly neurotic. A young neurotic. That's even worse than being an old one. She can't scare me. Live dangerously, that's my motto, even after 50. But go back into your room. I'll see you tomorrow.
I still wish you wouldn't.
My dear, indulging my curiosity is the only pleasure I have left in life. Good night.
Good night, Madame Lorraine.
Poor poor little rabbit. But then all of us here in the Carlisle Arms are pathetic has-beens. Really, that radio. Ah, well, the Colonel has his radio. Professor Haywood has his bridge. I have my curiosity. And here we are. Here's the door that leads into the empty wing. Ah, that's strange. It isn't locked. Well, this is very interesting. Where does that stairway go to? There's a light on the stair. Who closed that door? No! Oh, no! Please!
And now, at Central Headquarters in the office of the Commissioner of Police, with him is the famous Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most feared man.
So there you are, Chameleon. There are the facts of the case. Madame Louise Lorraine was found strangled this morning in the second floor hallway of a boarding house, the Carlisle Arms. A piece of wire had been knotted around her throat. The body was lying in front of room number 3. A room that usually was occupied by Professor Haywood.
Mm-hmm. What's he professor of, Commissioner?
I wouldn't know.
Oh.
One of the boarders, I suppose. Anyway, Chameleon, it's a brutal business.
And in such refined surroundings, too. Amazing. The Carlisle Arms, a home away from home for gentlefolk. Well, Commissioner?
Get over there immediately, Chameleon, will you? And find out just how gentle those gentlefolk are.
Mr. Chameleon, it's so awful to think this should happen in the Carlisle Arms. I've worked so hard to build up a high-class clientele, and now I'm afraid I'm going to lose them all.
Madame Lorraine lost her life, Miss Carlisle. Oh,
I'm sorry, that was very selfish of me. She was such a person, too. So vital, so alive. She was a former opera singer, you know, and she still had plenty of temperament.
A little too much, perhaps?
Well, yes. She and Colonel Robbins, he's the gentleman in room number 2... they had a few arguments about his radio. He's hard of hearing. He turns it on a little loud occasionally.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, yes. I see what you mean, Miss Carlisle. Who else lives on this floor?
Well, there's Mrs. Kramer and Miss Darling. Miss Darling is a bit eccentric.
In what way?
Well, she's young, Mr. Chameleon, but she wears the most dreadful old clothes. Uh-huh. And she never fixes her hair. She never uses makeup. Sometimes, well, she gets a bit hysterical. Oh, but she's really a fine young woman, and she comes from a fine family.
That's fine. Now, let me see. That would be her room over there, wouldn't it?
Yes.
What's the door next to it?
Oh, that's always kept locked. That opens into the wing of the house we never use.
This room here, this number 3, this belongs to Professor Haywood?
Yes.
Where is the professor?
Right now? Well, I have no idea, Mr. Chameleon. He's always going away for a couple of days at a time, but he's such a nice young man. I assure you he comes
from a fine family, yes.
Yes.
Well, maybe so, Miss Carlisle, but where was he last night when Madame Lorraine was murdered? Are you positive that he wasn't in his room?
Of course, I'm positive. He left on Monday.
Well, he could have sneaked back. Remember, the dead woman was found in front of his door.
Oh, Mr. Chameleon, surely you don't think the professor... Oh, here comes Colonel Robbins now. Ask him what everyone thinks of the professor. Oh, Colonel Robbins.
Did you call me, my dear?
Yes, Colonel. This is Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective from police headquarters.
Oh, yes. How do you do, Mr. Chameleon?
How do you do?
Nasty business, what? Fine figure of a woman. Who do you think killed her?
Well, offhand, Colonel, I couldn't say.
Who?
He doesn't know, Colonel, but he seems to suspect Professor Haywood.
The professor? Well, nonsense. Fine, upstanding chap. Excellent bridge player, too. Never overbids. You really think he did it, Mr. Chameleon?
Colonel, over my desk at Central Headquarters, there hangs a motto. The innocent must be protected. The guilty must be punished. If Professor Haywood is guilty...
But he wasn't even here last night.
Well, perhaps not. The coroner tells me that Madame Lorraine died between 11 and 11:30. But you heard nothing, Colonel Robbins.
You're mistaken, Mr. Chameleon. I didn't hear a thing.
That's what I said. You heard nothing in the hall.
Oh, no. As you may have noticed, Mr. Chameleon, I'm slightly hard of hearing.
Mr. Chameleon! Mr. Chameleon!
Oh, Detective Sergeant Arnold is calling you, Mr. Chameleon. Oh. He's downstairs.
What is it, Dave?
Come on down here, will you? I've got something to show you. Just drop everything and come on, quick.
Mr. Chameleon, I want you to hear them. That is, if they're still going out at Hammer and Tongs.
Who is it, Dave?
Two of the roomers, Mrs. Kramer and that Miss Darling. They're in the music room. Music room. Did you ever see such an old mausoleum?
Don't you like the Carlisle Arms, Dave? It
gives me the creeps. Full of poor old dodos, most of them just waiting to die.
Well, one of them did die, Dave. It's possible that she died because she had more life and vitality than the others.
But, wait a minute, Mr. Chameleon.
You have no right to talk to me
yep,
like that, Miss Darling.
They're still at it.
I have, Mrs. Kramer, and you're going to listen.
Take a look at that, Miss Darling. A cute little trick, isn't she, Mr. Chameleon?
At least she's young, Dave.
Yeah. And what good is it doing her?
I know perfectly well. You saw Madame Lorraine last night just before she was murdered.
No. I said goodnight to her, and then I left her.
And she told you what she was going to do. She told you where she was going.
No.
You're lying. Mrs. Kramer, you're going to tell me what Madame Lorraine said to you before she went to her death. You've got to tell me.
I won't.
All right. But let me tell you one thing. You keep away from my end of the hall. I warned Madame Lorraine, and I'm warning you. You keep your distance or else.
Or else what, Miss Darling?
What?
Well, go on. What will you do to Mrs. Kramer if she doesn't keep away from your end of the hall?
Who are you?
This is Mr. Chameleon. I told you he was on the case.
Oh, of course, the great Chameleon. Mrs. Kramer, we're honored. This is the famous detective I'm sure you've read about.
How do you do, Mr. Chameleon?
How do you do?
But I don't know anything about it. All I know is there's something horrible going on in this house, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid.
Well, now, don't be afraid. But, Mrs. Kramer, if there is anything that you can tell us...
No. No, just let me go to my room. Though I'm afraid to even go through the halls alone.
Well, Detective Sergeant Arnold, go along with you. You go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon. I'll be seeing you before you go back to headquarters.
And remember what I told you, Mrs. Kramer.
Miss Darling, just why are you threatening that poor woman?
Because she knows more than she's telling, Mr. Chameleon, I'm sure of it.
Well, what has that got to do with her keeping away from your room?
Nothing, except that I like my privacy. I've got a phobia about privacy.
Tell me, aren't you pretty young to be living in a place like this?
Mr. Chameleon, I live exactly as I please.
Oh.
Maybe I like this atmosphere of creeping death. Anyway, it happens to be none of your business.
Everything that happens in this house is my business, including you, Miss Darling. Where is your family?
I have no family. They're all dead. Anything else you want to know, you can find out on your own.
I will.
Oh, I'm sure you will. After all, you're the amazing Mr. Chameleon, aren't you? The famous detective, always turning up in all sorts of disguises.
That's right.
Must be fascinating. Though you're so attractive, it seems a shame to cover it up.
Thank you so much, Miss Darling. But I'll tell you something about a disguise. You work from the inside out. You see, you feel differently, so you act differently. That's what does it.
How interesting. I read that you'd even posed as a woman. Everything from a prince to a street beggar.
Oh, you compliment me.
Well, let's see what you can do here, Mr. Chameleon. Let's see what you can get away with at the Carlisle Arms.
I'll do my best. What about this... Professor Haywood.
Professor Haywood, he's all right. Rather vague, but bearable. But why?
I wondered where he was at the time of the murder. And I wondered just when he was coming back. What's the matter, Dave? Glad to get out of the Carlisle Arms?
So help me, Mr. Chameleon. I can't stand that joint. Oh, Miss Carlisle's okay, but some of her guests... Boy, there's something awful funny going on there.
There's been something funny going on there for quite a while, Dave.
What do you mean?
Madame Lorraine's death was only the beginning. I'm very much afraid there's more violence to come.
Well, Mr. Chameleon,
if you... Better get back in there immediately tonight, perhaps. No, this afternoon might be better.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't tell me that place is under surveillance.
Yes, yes, it is, Dave. We've kept it quiet, but we've been watching it for weeks. I've a very good idea what's going on there, but no evidence. Now it's up to me to bring in the evidence and fast.
Well, I still don't see... Say, Mr. Chameleon, what's that? That in your hand.
Well, this? Oh, that's a key from the Carlisle Arms. Room number 3.
Room number 3? But that's Professor Haywood's room.
Yes, yes, Dave. I'm Professor Haywood.
Mr. Chameleon and the case of the Brownstone murder continues in just a moment. There's no need for you to let an ordinary headache upset you and spoil your whole day. To get relief that's so fast you'll be amazed, take 2 Bayer aspirin tablets with a glass of water. Bayer aspirin works quickly because it starts to disintegrate within 2 seconds after you take it. Now, to see this astonishing speed for yourself, drop a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water and watch what happens. Before it reaches the bottom of the glass, it begins to disintegrate. That's exactly what it does in your stomach, and that's why Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly you take it. So when you want quick relief from headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain, do as millions do who want fast relief, take genuine Bayer aspirin. Always ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the Brownstone murder case. It is late afternoon, and in front of the Carlisle Arms, Detective Sergeant Arnold has accosted a man of indeterminate age, with rumpled clothes and thick glasses. And as he climbs the steps carrying a suitcase, Dave Arnold says to him,
"Hey, wait a minute. Where do you think you're going?"
"Why, to my room, of course. I happen to live here, Detective Sergeant Arnold."
"Huh? Chameleon!"
"I beg your pardon. The name's Professor Haywood."
"Gee, I'm sorry, but no kidding, you sure look different."
"Well, take it easy, Dave, and follow me upstairs."
"Professor Haywood, oh, I was afraid we'd never see you again."
"Oh, why not, Miss Carlisle?"
"Why not? Haven't you read the papers? Don't you know about Madame Lorraine?"
"All that, yes. That must have been ghastly. Poor woman, I liked her, though she was a bit overwhelming."
"Just how well did you know her, Professor?"
"Is that any affair of yours?"
"Please, Detective Sergeant, can't you leave my guests alone? For years I've worked to build up a nice clientele, and now the police are driving them away."
"Oh, I don't suppose the murder had anything to do with it, Miss Carlisle."
"Well, isn't that one of the worst aspects of murder, that the police come butting in?"
"Is that supposed to be a joke, Professor?"
"Yes, aren't you clever?"
"Quite a card, aren't you? Well, let me tell you, Professor, and you too, Miss Carlisle, a little later we're searching this place from top to bottom, including the unused wing."
"Detective Sergeant Arnold, I'm just as anxious as you are to find Madame Lorraine's murderer."
"Well, what are you laughing at, Professor?"
I beg your pardon? Oh, I was just thinking that is rather amusing. I mean what I just said, that the worst aspect of murder is the police butting in."
"Miss Carlisle, is he quite right in the head?"
"The professor? Of course he is. And it's your manner I object to. I don't mind your searching the house, but to think that all my nicest people may be driven away..."
"Who, for instance?"
"Well, Mrs. Kramer, for one. She's packing right now. She's leaving first thing in the morning."
"Oh, dear, that is too bad. She always made our fourth at bridge."
"Is that all you can think of?"
"Detective Sergeant Reynolds."
"Arnold."
"Arnold Reynolds, whatever it is. Do you mind very much if I take my suitcase to my room?"
"Not if you don't mind, if I go along with you."
"There isn't very much I can do about that, is there? But, Miss Carlisle, please don't worry. I shan't be leaving."
"Oh, thank you, Professor. I'm very glad to hear that."
"I'm just wondering, if Mrs. Kramer is leaving in the morning, do you suppose she'd still be willing to play bridge this evening? I've been looking forward to having a little game with her and Miss Darling and Colonel Robbins." "Okay, Dave, we can talk, but keep your voice down."
"So Mrs. Kramer is trying to clear out of here, is she, Mr. Chameleon?"
"Yes, Mrs. Kramer is terrified, Dave, and she has reason to be terrified."
"Well, what do you want me to do, keep her here?"
"No, no, let her think that she can get away. And let other people think that she can get away."
"Yeah, but look, Mr. Chameleon, does it occur to you she might have murdered Madame Lorraine? She could have."
"You're quite right, she could have. But let things rest as they are. Just search this place with a fine-tooth comb. Especially that empty wing that's been untenanted for years. Oh, you know something? I wouldn't be at all surprised if I found out more than you will over the bridge table this evening in my role of the professor."
forbid, Professor.
I'm well aware of that fact, Miss Darling. I was just thinking.
I make it one, no trump.
I haven't bid yet, Colonel.
Oh, I thought you said a spade. Sorry, my dear boy, sorry.
That's quite all right. I pass.
What did you say, Mrs. Kramer? Mrs. Kramer, please keep your mind on the game.
How can I, Miss Darling, with the police upstairs? Why are they taking so long to search the place? And why isn't that Mr. Chameleon supervising the search? He was so courteous, so attractive.
Did you say two hearts, Mrs. Kramer?
Mrs. Kramer said nothing, Colonel. Her hands are shaking so she can hardly hold her car.
I can't help it. All I want to do is to get away from here to... Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
What is it, Mrs. Kramer?
The Ace of Spades, Professor. Right here in my hand. The Ace of Spades means death.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, it does mean death.
It also means a redeal. Shuffle them, Professor.
No, wait. Colonel, that detective sergeant is right behind you.
Really? Is the search all over, Sergeant?
Yes, the search is over, Colonel.
Well, what did you find out?
Nothing, judging from his face.
Maybe more than you think, Miss Darling. Professor, may I see you alone?
Oh, yes, certainly, Detective Sergeant.
Professor Haywood, he's not taking you away, is he?
No, he just wants to see me alone. Will you excuse me, ladies?
Well, Dave?
We didn't find a thing, Mr. Chameleon. Not a blasted piece of evidence. We went through everything, every room, including that empty wing. Whoever the killer is, whatever is behind this, someone is awful smart.
But not quite smart enough.
Well, how did you make out? Did the cards tell you anything?
They told Mrs. Kramer that death was very close. And maybe they told me something, too. This is a case, Dave, where the culprit has to be caught red-handed.
But when, Mr. Chameleon?
Tonight.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm. Things are going to start happening tonight. And I'll know when there's going to be a signal, and I'm pretty sure I know what that signal will be.
Colonel Robbins! Colonel Robbins!
Did someone call?
Yes, Colonel.
Oh, Professor. Come in, my dear boy. Come in.
I saw your door was open.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Your door is open. I wondered, would you mind very much not playing your radio just for tonight?
You want to listen to the radio?
I want you to turn it off. I've a bad headache and can't get to sleep.
I sleep better too, Professor, if I listen to music late at night. What are you doing?
I've turned the radio off, Colonel.
But you can't do that. I'm listening to my favorite program. It'll be over within 15 minutes. Half an hour at the most.
Half an hour will be too long. Even 15 minutes.
Well, I'm sorry, Professor, but I intend to hear my program.
Turn that radio off, Colonel.
I will not. A man's home is his castle, Professor. I realize I may have it on a little too loud, but since I'm slightly hard of hearing...
Are you, Colonel?
Am I what?
Hard of hearing. Tonight at bridge, I said as softly as I could, that detective sergeant is behind you, and you heard me perfectly.
Why, yes. Yes, I did.
You're not deaf, Colonel Robbins. Not at all. Please turn off that radio, or I'll turn it off for you. There, that's better.
Turn it on immediately.
Why, Colonel? What have you been covering up with all that noise? What do you expect to cover up now?
Are you out of your mind, Professor? Get away from that radio.
Oh, that's it. That's what you hope to drown out. All right, Colonel Robbins.
Professor, where did you get that gun?
Part of my academic equipment. Keep your hands up and keep moving ahead of me fast. Scream came from Mrs. Kramer's room.
Who are you? I'll turn you over to the police.
Think it may be the other way around. Here we are. Miss Kramer, you all right?
Yes, Professor. But Miss Darling here tried to kill me. I woke up and she was bending over me in the dark. Then Miss Carlyle rushed in and saved me.
Well, how could you tell if it was dark, Mrs. Kramer? Maybe it was Miss Darling who rushed in to save you.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. It's true, Professor. It was Miss Carlyle who intended to murder Mrs. Kramer.
She's lying, Professor. But I don't understand. What are you doing with that gun? Colonel, why is he pointing that gun at you?
The Professor is an imposter, my dear.
Yes, I am an imposter. We all are, in fact, including Miss Darling, whose real name is Evans. Madeline Evans, plainclothes policewoman. Who was sent here to keep an eye on this house.
What?
Yes, I looked you up in the files this morning. You're a very pretty girl under normal circumstances, Madeline.
Yes, but
you see, the powers that be thought it was best that we shouldn't know we were working together under the same roof.
What the devil?
Chameleon! You're Mr. Chameleon!
But that's not possible. Yes, he is Mr. Chameleon. Why didn't you recognize him, Colonel?
Why didn't I recognize him?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you'd known me for weeks as Professor Haywood. You were accustomed to Professor Haywood's mannerisms, his personality. You'd accepted him and catalogued him as being perfectly safe.
But we've done nothing. Why should you be watching this house?
Miss Carlyle, you and Robbins both have prison records.
What?
Go way back, of course. But later, you decided to operate a hiding place for criminals on the lam. You had a wonderful front. A highly respectable boarding house. Perfect hideaway for men wanted by the police.
Mr. Chameleon, do you mean that Madame Lorraine, that most of the guests here are criminals?
No, no, indeed, Mrs. Kramer. Only Colonel Robbins. But every once in a while, haven't there been odd-looking transients? Of course there have. They were hidden away in that empty wing.
And spirited out during the night, I suppose.
Exactly, Colonel Robbins, with your radio drowning out any sounds.
Then Madame Lorraine, that explains her murder, Mr. Chameleon. That's where she was going, to try the door of that empty wing. She'd heard voices, she told me.
Well, she tried the door. The chances are she even went through it, to her death. They were going to kill you too, of course, Mrs. Kramer, because you knew where she was going.
And just how can you prove all this, Mr. Chameleon?
Miss Carlyle, there is the wire lying on the floor. You had to drop it before you had a chance to use it on Mrs. Kramer. But I'm sure that same sort of wire strangled Madame Lorraine.
No, that's not true. I had nothing to do with killing Madame Lorraine.
Well, then who did?
He did, Colonel Robbins.
You filthy liar! Chameleon, she's the one who planned the whole thing. All I did was to play my radio.
No, he killed her.
She slipped the wire around Madame Lorraine's throat. She used a pair of pliers to tighten the wire. They're in her pocket now.
Shut up, you fool!
Okay, Miss Evans, look for the pliers. And then we'll all of us take a ride down to Central Headquarters. And, of course, as you know, Mrs. Kramer, the pliers were in Miss Carlyle's pocket. Immediately afterwards, Robbins confessed to everything. Anyway, my dear lady, it's all over now, and you can draw a free breath.
Oh, Mr. Chameleon, if it hadn't been for you, I'd be dead.
Oh, nonsense. We cops simply did our job. Didn't we, Miss Darling? Miss Evans.
We did. And, Mrs. Kramer, I hope you'll forgive me for threatening you. It was the only way I had of warning you to keep away from that door to the empty wing.
My dear, you saved my life. Well, goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Well, Mr. Chameleon, go ahead and say it. Tell me how bungling, how incompetent I was not to penetrate your disguise. That's what you're thinking.
I was thinking how very attractive you are, Miss Evans, and what an excellent operator. The only thing is, the next time when I ask to have you assigned to work with me, let's see to it that we play bridge as partners, not as opponents. You're much too good. And I'll tell you a secret. I hate to lose.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case.
Wasn't a very good segue by me there, was it? Okay, that was episode number 2 of Mr. Chameleon, the Brownstone Murder, an original air date of the 25th of July, 1948. My name is Arthur, and you are listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford. Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm going to go ahead with a public service announcement.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that FCC obligation. For the second half of the Grand Hour this morning, I'm going to play an old friend, John Daner. This one, some folks don't particularly like this Frontier gentleman, but I actually do. This one's titled, it was actually episode 38 of Frontier Gentleman, titled The Rainmaker, with an original air date of the 26th of October, 1958.
There is a section of Kansas in which I shall never be welcome. This is the reason for it.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I had arrived in the town of Osawatomie by way of riverboat down the Missouri to Kansas City, and then overland to this site of the famous battle. I hoped to write a story on the abolitionist John Brown, but two things prevented my doing so. The first was the weather. In a region where I was told the rain was plentiful, not a drop had fallen for more than 3 months. Eastern Kansas was in the grip of a severe drought. The second reason was Darby Bullman. I met him as I was doing a sketch of John Brown's cabin. He drew up in a wagon, got down, and peered over my shoulder, silent for a few minutes, then cleared his throat and said...
Hot, ain't it?
Yes, very.
Ain't seasonal.
Well, so I'm told.
You a stranger around here?
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Just come in town. Ain't much to see, is there?
No, not much.
It's a pretty fair likeness of the cabin.
Thank you.
Chimney don't seem to stick out just right, though. You don't mind me saying.
Well, it's only a rough sketch.
Ain't squatty enough, neither. Outside of that, it ain't bad.
Hmm.
You make a living doing that?
No. No, I'm a writer. This is a sideline.
Oh, so. Are you any good at making signs, writing them?
Well, I never...
I'd be willing to pay $2. Won't go no higher than two. Don't need none of them fancy curlicues. Just a good old sign, nice and easy writing so those folks can read it. Do it myself, except I ain't much of a hand at that kind of thing.
Well,
I figure for $2 you can draw in a picture along with the words.
What kind of sign?
Well, you write it out. I'll tell it to you slow.
Well, all right. Just a minute. Let me... All right. Go on.
Darby Bullman.
Darby. D. E.
D-A-R.
Oh, sorry. Darby. Bullman.
B-U-L-L.
L-L-M-E-N.
King of the Rainmakers.
Of the Rainmakers. Will guarantee...
To fix it to rain for the price of $1,000.
Would you prefer guarantee to bring forth rain for the price?
Fine. Bring forth rain for the price
of $1,000. Yes. That's right, yes.
Now, what kind of a picture would you figure to draw with that?
Well, what would you suggest?
Oh, I don't know. Something good and wet, though. You know, give them the idea.
You're not serious, Mr. Bowman.
Sure I'm serious. You think I'm flapping my gums to make wind?
You can actually make it rain?
I've been doing it nigh on 5 years.
How?
Oh, I got my methods, mister. Don't you worry about that.
$1,000 is a lot of money.
Sure it is. But it's a sight less than what these homesuckers is going to lose if it don't rain. Come to think of it, you know, I'll be needing an assistant. You want the job?
Well,
pay you $50 in feed.
Well, what are the requirements for an assistant?
Oh, ain't nothing to it. You get that sign made. I got me a big roll of paper in the wagon yonder. Then we stick the sign up over the wagon and drive through the town. soon as we get us a likely crowd gathered, I make the speech, and you can start the collection.
A small point, but supposing they don't believe you?
Ain't human nature not to believe me. Cows and crops is perishing for want of rain, ain't they?
Yes.
Fellow like me comes along and gives them rain. They'll believe me.
Have you ever failed?
No. Mister... what's your name anyhow, huh?
Kendall.
Oh, Kendall. You see that fella coming this way herding them cows?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I'll show you what I mean.
Get over there, you greasy case of work!
Morning, stranger.
Morning.
Them cows of yours kind of scrawny, ain't they?
They sure are, mister. Unless when we get some rain mighty soon, ain't gonna be no better than rawhide.
Then I guess your troubles is over, stranger.
That so?
Yeah. You're talking to Darby Bowman, king of the rainmakers. This is my assistant, Slim Kendall.
That so?
Yes, sir. If you want a good big rain, you come on down to town at 5:00. Tell your friends. I got the makings for the wettest rain you ever see. Bring it right down from the cloud.
Ain't no clouds.
Not right yet, there ain't. But that's what I aim to scare up. Hey, you be willing to pay maybe $50 for an inch of water in your fields?
Mister, you do that, I'd be willing to pay $100.
I ain't agree, man. Like I say, my wagon will be in the middle of the town 5:00. You tell your friends.
I surely will, mister. Yes, sir, I surely will. Get out
of there! Yeah. Either way it is, Kendall, I get me 20 fellas like that, pay $50 apiece, I get me 1,000.
But how can you guarantee that, I mean, what do they do if you can't produce the rain?
Didn't you hear me get through telling him? It'll be the easiest $50 you ever made, Kendall. Now, you get going on that sign. I got to start mixing up the makings. Now, this here's going to be the wettest county in Kansas. Come tomorrow.
Of all reading filters, cigarettes, Kent filters best. It makes good sense when you smoke Kent. Kent filters best. Of all of the brands of cigarettes, Kent tastes the best. Kent tastes the best. A richer taste than all the rest. Kent filters best.
I was torn between curiosity and common sense. The one counseled me to stay with Darby Bowman, to act in whatever assistant capacity he saw fit, and the other warned me to put as much distance as I could between the rainmaker and myself. So, common sense lost. I'm a newspaper correspondent, and there was something about the fat little man that intrigued me. So I made the sign, complete with a soaking, wet landscape as a background. Bulman was immensely pleased. At exactly 5:00, we drove the wagon into town and drew up outside the sheriff's office. As for my instructions, I began beating on a large saucepan with a heavy iron spoon.
All right.
A small crowd began to gather.
Gather around, folks. Coming real close. That's a little slim. All right, gather around so I don't have to strain my vitals. That's just fine. Now I guess you can all read so you know what that there sign says.
We see what it says. We ain't so sure what it means, though.
It means what it says, mister. I'm here to bring you rain. And when I say rain, I don't mean no tiddling spit. I mean a goose grounder, a regular gully washer. I mean to make it wet enough to bog a snipe.
That's what it told me. That's what it said this morning.
Yeah, let me throw it here.
What's your business, mister?
You can read, can't you, friend?
I ain't your friend, mister. I'm Sheriff Finnick. I aim to keep law and order in this here county. You creating a disturbance of the peace?
Well, no such thing. Me and my assistant Slim, we're setting up a business deal. Like it says, $1,000 and I make rain.
Ain't possible.
You hear that? Sheriff says it ain't possible. Well, here's what I say. 24 hours. You give me 24 hours, and if there ain't a puddle of water in every pothole in this street, nobody pays me nothing.
Bowman, we had fellas around these parts before claiming they could bring down weather. Laston got run out on a rail.
I'm willing to take the medicine same as him, if and I don't make good.
$1,000 is a heap of money.
Sure is.
You got proof you can do what you say? Where else you brung the rain?
Where else? I'll tell you where. Out to California. I waded down the Sacramento Valley 2 years back so you could take a boat from Marysville down to Sacramento and never touch dry land.
Hey, don't see no harm if it's a guarantee. Yeah, you're right. But we got to make it legal-like.
Suits me. Anything you say.
Go over and fetch Lawyer Woolsack. Tell him to come on over to the sheriff's office. We need some papers made.
Now, I got it written up clear and understanding.
Now, wait, just read it, will you?
Well, consideration of the mutual covenants herein contained, the parties hereto have agreed and do agree as follows. Wherefore and whereas.
You can get over the wherefores and whereases, Collie. What do it say?
In brief, a corporation in this town agrees to sell shares and to utilize such monies collected to pay Darby Bullman the sum of $1,000 upon delivery within 24 hours of 1 inch of natural waters. One half of the sum to be paid on signature of this document, and the other half to be paid when the task is completed. If rain is not forthcoming within the stipulated time, all money shall be returned by the party of the first part, etc., etc.
Well, now that sounds mighty fine. What do you say, Slim?
Clear and concise.
Now, what ain't in the papers is what I'm telling you, Bowman. Now, if this here's some kind of gouging, you and your pal ain't gonna be in no condition to try it no more. You remember that.
I ain't got time to worry about that, Sheriff. Let's sign them papers. I got a mess of work to do.
Yeah. Sign right here.
That's my mark.
Well, now, ain't that something? All that there big talk, he can't even write his name.
His mark is perfectly legal, Sheriff. Now, you, sir.
Right you are.
J. B. Canoodley. Kendall.
That's right.
Excellent. Now, I shall sign for the corporation. Collier Woolsack.
Let me through. Make way.
Oh, we got troubles, boys. Sounds like Mrs. Cunningham.
What is this I hear, Collier Woolsack? Sheriff Finnick?
Business affair, dear lady. Nothing to worry
don't
about.
Don't mealy mouth, Mr. Woolsack. There's devil's work afoot.
Oh, now, Mrs.
I forbid it.
Don't see how you rightly can forbid anything, ma'am. I got a contract here all signed legalized.
It's the devil's work. Are you a man of temperance?
If you mean, do I take a sup of snake poison? No, ma'am, I ain't a man of temperance.
This town will not suffer the evils of intoxicating liquors, nor the workings of the devil.
I ain't no devil, ma'am.
I think you misunderstand, madam. Mr. Bullman is not intoxicated. He's a rainmaker.
You, sir, are in the presence of a lady. How dare you speak to me in that tone? Sheriff, I demand that you put a stop to this devil's work immediately.
Now, don't you worry about a thing, Mrs. Cunningham. There ain't gonna be no liquoring or carrying on, I promise you.
It is against the laws of nature. Only the great rainmaker up yonder has the right to create rain. I forbid you to attempt such a thing. The women's crusaders will be called out to put a stop to it. I warn you, Sheriff.
Now, there ain't no need of that, Mrs. Cunningham.
I have nothing more to say. We have put the devil out of Osawatomie. He will not return in the guise of these two wicked men. Liquor and sin. Liquor and sin.
Somebody's wife?
Not no more, Kendall. Buried, too. Talked him to death, some say.
I ain't having no trouble with Mary Elizabeth Cunningham or them women's crusaders. No, sir. Now, you boys better get out of town.
Well, we got a legal signed paper. Ain't that so, Slim?
Definitely so.
There's no backing out of it, Sheriff. Lest me want to pay the $1,000 by default.
Just 24 hours is all I need, fellas. Maybe less. Then you'll have your reign. And that old female buzzard won't have nothing to say.
Mister, you listen here to what I'm telling you. If you don't come through with that reign, I'll turn you both over to the women's crusaders. And what they'll do to you will make a lynching party seem like an evening social. You got 24 hours.
If it's new, Plymouth's got it.
Got it.
The 59 Plymouth's got it if it's new.
It's new, if it's new.
The 59 Plymouth is at your Plymouth dealers now.
It's new, it's wonderful, and it's here. New styling to make your heart sing. Plymouth for 59 has that fine car look. New Fury models at new lower prices. New swivel seats. Swing you in when you enter, swing you out when you leave. New push-button heater, world's simplest temperature control. New Golden Commando V8, biggest engine in the low-price field. New Miramatic mirror, new automatic headlight dimmer, new sport deck, new everything. See the completely new 59 Plymouth. Drive the completely new 59 Plymouth at your Plymouth dealers now.
Darby Bullman and I left the town and went to a field a mile or two away. The rainmaker scurried about, unloading sacks from the wagon, contents unknown. Then we wrestled two immense cauldrons down to the ground. While I built fires under the containers, Bullman emptied the sacks and began to stir in a liquid which he poured from large jars. A great cloud of dense smoke began to rise into the night, spreading, oily, black, and with it arose a most incredible stench. If nothing else, the heavens would weep at that alone.
What is it?
My own chemical invention. Ain't nothing else like it.
I should hope not.
That ought to do it. All we got to do now is to keep her good and hot and wait. Oh, she's rising just fine. Might get something sooner than I figured. Wind's right. Yes, sir. Shouldn't be too long.
We spent the night in the field, alternately napping and tending the fire. At dawn, there were only gray wisps rising from the cauldrons, and the sky was cloudless. Bullman whistled cheerfully as we loaded the wagon, then made our way back to the sheriff's office. Well, you don't seem particularly worried.
Ain't no reason I should be. You neither.
From that sky, I'd say there wasn't any rain within 100 miles.
You'd say that, huh? Well, we got a few hours to go yet. Whoa, whoa.
Morning, boys.
Oh, morning.
Mighty dry start for a rainy day.
Yes, that's a fact.
Here you was making lots of smoke down the road away. Old Har-Har, he said there was a powerful stink when he took the cows out this morning.
Oh, so?
Some of the fellers ain't feeling so happy waking up this morning not finding no rain.
That's so. Oh, morning, Sheriff.
Morning.
Well, mighty nice of you to save me the trouble of coming out to get you.
Is something wrong, Sheriff?
You know doggone well something's wrong. Another hour this town's gonna be bellering for your skin. Rain. Ain't gonna be no rain, you know it.
24 hours, like the paper says. Ain't but a mite after 9 now. We still got 9 hours to go. 6 o'clock this evening is finishing time.
Well, I ain't taking no chances. Both of you's gonna be locked up.
Why?
Why? Because I'm sworn up hold the peace, that's why. Folks around here's having a bad time with this dry spell. They're touchy enough to get mean. And that Mrs. Cunningham and her crusader ladies, well, I don't want no trouble. You get in that cell and stay there.
Yeah. Ain't worth fretting, Slim. She'll rain by and by.
Inside.
Wouldn't care to send in some breakfast, would you, Sheriff?
I'll send out for some.
Sheriff! There's going to be trouble. A bunch of men up the street, they saw Bullman and Kendall come into your office. They're talking about trickery. They're ugly, very ugly.
I knew it.
My wife was at a meeting last night. The Crusaders. Mary Elizabeth Cunningham has got the women worked up. Mrs. Woolsock accused me of working with the devil.
There sure must have been some town before that leaky-mouthed woman cleaned it up.
Listen, they're coming.
Now, look, a bargain's a bargain. We agreed 24 hours.
Oh, you ain't sticking to that crazy talk, are you? You know there ain't gonna be no rain. If you're lucky, I can stop them from lynching you. Maybe just tarring and feathering will be enough for them.
It's highly illegal, highly illegal.
Or my idea.
I think you'd better unlock the cell.
No, sir, you stay right there.
Bring him up.
There ain't no rain.
Nothing
but a lot of bad
smell. My old woman's got the heaves on account of that stink.
Turn him over there, Sheriff. We'll take care of him.
Fellas! Fellas! I just heard it came
over the telegraph.
It's
raining.
Rain where?
All over. Over to Ottawa, down the line to Osage City, Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City. It's raining.
It ain't raining here.
Our contract specifically calls for rain in Ottawa. And unless the provisions of the contract are... What was that?
Well, it weren't my stomach, that's for sure.
Hey, take a look out the window, boys. Where are the clouds coming in?
Mr. Bowman, I'd say you are a very fortunate man.
Ain't nothing fortunate about it. Purely scientific is all. Never fails. But between you and me, it might be a good idea if we got out of here.
Darby Bowman received the remainder of his fee, and in a torrent of rain, we drove out of Osawatomie. We didn't escape the downpour until the next day, and were then some 50 miles south of the town. And from what I've heard, the storm lasted for 3 days, and the damage caused by the flooding river will long be remembered, as will the name of Darby Bowman.
It's no surprise to anybody that the attractive and inexpensive new radios have proved popular. It's no surprise, that is, to anyone who listens to CBS Radio. With so much in the way of music, comedy, drama, variety, and news coming your way every day on CBS Radio, more than one radio around the house is more than a convenience. It's almost a necessity for anyone who has a daily routine. The man in the house wants to come home to an attractive home and an attractive wife, but household chores in themselves are rarely inspirational. The smart homemaker is one who refuses to let her regular responsibilities get her down. She gets her work done every day, but she gets her entertainment in, too. She has a radio in the kitchen as well as the living room. Chances are she has a portable radio as well to follow her from one task to another around the house. She knows why the inexpensive new radios are so popular. And she knows the value of CBS Radio, too. Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Jack Crucian, Stacey Harris, Virginia Gregg, Charles Seal, and Jack Moyle. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
As we heard, that was John Daner, J.P. Kendall, in episode 38 of Frontier Gentlemen, titled The Rainmaker. That had an original air date of the 26th of October, 1958. Very interesting in that one, as they mentioned my hometown, Marysville. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Started the show off today with Mr. Chameleon. I'll probably play another one of those, episode 3. I got the collection. It's worth just playing a couple more of those before. It's kind of interesting. And then, of course, you just heard Frontier Gentleman. I still got some time left over, so I'm going to do a rare rarity and actually play some music. We'll see you next week. I'll play a song out before I have to put you on the computer on automation. Hate to do that, but oh well. Thanks for listening.
It seems like the bell rings, time for deja vu. Everything is familiar, being here with you. All you've ever had before, you've had to understand. Now all you have to do is want to have at your command. I have always been here before, allowing my mind's call of Nona, incorporate more, never stops this flow. That is real, that is forever, keeps filling, never filled. That snuck up on you in the night, that you remember in an early child's life. That was supposed to have frightened you, but somehow you never took to fright. I have always been here before, allowing my mind's call of no love, incorporate more, never stops this flow. I have always been here before, from the gargoyles to Stonehenge, from the Sphinx to the pyramids, Lucifer's temples praising the devil right, to the devil's clock as it strikes midnight. I have always been here before, allowing my mind's call of no love, incorporate more, never stops this flow. I have always been here before.
Tell you this, but here's Rocky Erickson.